Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle. It's day two of our countdown to Super Bowl 51. We're here in the Media Center in Houston, Texas, looking ahead to the Atlanta Falcons against the New England Patriots. I'm joined by my regular podcast partner and Sky Sports resident coach, Jeff Reinbold, and a special guest joining us right at the top of the show, offensive tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Kelvin Beachum. Kelvin, thanks for joining us. What are you doing here in Super Bowl week?
I'm just here chilling. That's what I usually do during Radio Row. I'm not here trying to pimp anything out. I'm just here enjoying great friends, great relationships, and spending time with people that I've been knowing for a long time.
Yeah, and you guys got the connection from when you coached at SMU, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I remember when we went into SMU, we had this big kid, offensive lineman, and his butt was the biggest.
Here we go.
There used to be a Saturday Night Live skit called the Wydettes, and it was a bunch of people whose butt was like this. That was Kelvin. And he was skinny upper body, basketball player from a little town called Mahia, Texas. But he worked, and you know, was an athlete, but wasn't strong enough, and turned himself into an NFL player. I'm proud of him.
And you fit in that chair. You're okay. You're comfortable, right? We're good. We're going to make sure. You're just going to walk up at the same time. Kelvin, let's talk quickly about the 2016 season with the Jags, and maybe ahead to 2017, because looks like there are exciting times ahead with your position coach now being your head coach, Doug Marrone, Tom Coughlin coming in. But 2016 can't have been what was planned for.
Nobody expected it. I didn't anticipate a losing season. Yeah. I expected us to be in the playoffs. I expected us to be in a hunt for the division, and we were not. We let a lot of people down. We let ourselves down, and we didn't go out and perform the way we needed to. We allowed too many games where we had an opportunity to close the game out. We didn't close the game out, and it bit us. You know, had some games early where we could have closed games out early in the season, and we didn't finish those games, and it really bit us in the behind as you got later on in the season.
Jeff, this is a league where it comes down to close games all the time, and I feel like we've said that with the Jags for a few years now. The talent is there. Scott, they probably need to finish.
Well, you know, you look at that roster, and they're young, they're talented. They go out and get a left tackle, which they needed desperately.
Yep.
Signed Kelvin from Pittsburgh and brought him in. They've got a quarterback who's got physical ability. They're young and can run on defense. But it was interesting. Dan Quinn was talking about it today in his press conference about developing the ability to finish games. And until you've done it, you don't have anything in the storeroom to draw upon when you get into those close games. So that's what I'm looking for you guys to start to do is finish games.
I agree. And if we are able to do that, we'll be competing for the AFC South division crown. We won't be in Houston losing in Houston to a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, because that was one of the losses that we had later in the season. That, as bad as our record was, we still had an opportunity to win a division later in the season.
Yeah.
And we didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, it was up for grabs, that division, all year long, wasn't it, really? So looking ahead to 2017, we'll have the Jags back in London playing against the Baltimore Ravens this year. Doug Marrone, he was your position coach. What does he bring to this team?
I think he brings this very analytical and very critical piece that needs to be said day in and day out to the team. You know, as an offensive lineman, he made sure that he showed our sack total. He showed our rushing total. He showed our average total for that particular game. He showed every single run play that we had and the missteps and the mishaps that happened in the run game. It was very critical. Sometimes it got on your nerves, but at the same time, it made you a better offensive lineman. I'm for real. I would rather somebody tell me the truth than lie to me.
Right.
And Doug was one of those guys that he didn't care what you thought, who you were, what color you were, where you were from, where you were drafted. He was going to tell you exactly what was on his mind when it needed to be said. And that's one thing I do respect about him and look forward. You know, if I happen to be back in Jacksonville, I look forward to having that type of persona as a head coach.
Yeah, of course, it was a one-year deal for you, right?
So
how does that process now work over the offseason? Do you want to go back there? Give us the scoop, come on.
This is the National Football League. You never know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. You know, it's one of those hurry-up-and-wait type of games. So, you know, my thing is control what I can control. I can control how I eat, how I sleep, how I train, the time I'm spending with family to be refreshed when the season starts. And those are the things that I can control. I don't know what their plans are as far as keeping me or not keeping me or moving on. But all I can do is control what I can control.
Got to keep a good young left tackle, haven't they, Jeff?
You just can't let offense, you know, let me tell you something. You can't go to a grocery store, and I'm not going to use a name because
she thanks,
can't go
Jeff.
To a grocery store and go to aisle 7 and pick up a left tackle. That doesn't work that way.
Right.
Left tackles in the National Football League, that is the hardest position to play on the offensive line, and you got to have that guy. So this is a valuable piece of property right here for Jacksonville or any other team, because not only is he a great player, Neil, he's a great person.
Oh, awesome.
Such kind words from the former coach.
I know, it's good, isn't it? It's nice to have everyone needs a boost like that. It's good stuff.
Great encouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. Kelvin, we're looking ahead, of course, to Super Bowl 51 on Sunday. And when we look at this New England Patriots team, I wanted to get your take on being a seventh-round draft pick. You entered the NFL the harder way to be a low-round draft pick. And when you look at these Patriots, and I know it's almost like a story been told so many times that it rubs off a little bit, but Tom Brady was a sixth-round draft pick. Julian Edelman, a seventh-rounder out of Kent State. Mm-hmm. Chris Hogan, undrafted. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that path that they've had to take, which would have been similar to what you had to take.
You know, I think if you look at those guys, one of the traits that you always hear with those guys is they work extremely, extremely hard.
Yeah.
And as a seventh-round pick, you don't have the luxury of first-rounders, or you have that three-year grace period before you get to find out if they're the guy that you want or not.
Yeah.
You have to come in running. You got to hit the ground running, and it has to be one of those things where you're just working harder than anybody else on the field. And you look at those guys that are playing for the Patriots this week, you talk about Tom Brady, Edelman, and Hogan. You look at what they bring to the table. They work extremely hard.
Yeah.
It's got them to the position where they are today.
Jeff, you look at Edelman was when they played the Giants in the Super Bowl, Edelman was playing cornerback. Chris Hogan played 4 years of lacrosse and then 1 year at Monmouth as he wasn't even a receiver. He had like 12 catches. He played more defensive back. That, again, it comes, I guess, to the work ethic and overcoming
the there are a lot of things about those guys that make them special. Hmm. You know, Edelman wasn't recruited out of high school.
Right.
And went to College of San Mateo and played for Larry Owens, an old friend of ours from NFL Europe days. And Larry called me on the phone when I'm at the University of Hawaii. He said, I got a quarterback here for you. And I said, Larry, you guys run the option. I said, we're a running shoot team. He goes, but Jeff, I'm just telling you, the kid's a winner. And I said, what's his name? He said, Julian Edelman. And I looked at the tape, and he was an athlete, but I didn't know what position you could fit him into, so we rejected him, along with about 100 other schools.
Yeah.
Kent State ran an offense that was similar to what he did at College of San Mateo, and he was a punt returner and played a little bit on defense. Mm. That's what caught the Patriots' eye, was his ability to, you know, to be an athlete and do a lot of things. And, you know, again, that's one of the great things. Talent identification, and Kelvin will tell you this because he's seen enough guys come in really highly evaluated, can't play a lick.
Right.
Right? And some guys that are, you know, low-round picks or free agent guys that can really play. Talent evaluation is not an exact science.
No, and there's a lot of players on that Patriots team with what Jeff, football intelligence and
Correct.
Work ethic, isn't it?
Kelvin,
agree. Yeah.
I would agree. I mean, you look at the offensive line. The offensive line is, you don't know many guys outside of Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon. Yeah. I can't even tell you who the inside three are, but
right.
I know those guys because they're friends of mine. But, you know, it's something to say when you have offensive linemen that can come in. I can speak as offensive lineman. You come in not highly touted, and you got to find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
You hear that? Marcus Cannon. Nate Solder.
It's
the tackle. Tackles.
It's where the money is.
It's
where the money is, Jeff. Look at that jacket. You should know that, Jeff. Look at it. What do you always say, Jeff?
You cannot hide money.
There you go.
Hey, you need to talk to Emmanuel about that.
Kelvin, let's talk offensive lines.
Yes,
this is a game where we will look at Matt Ryan and Tom Brady and Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. We'll focus on the skill positions.
Correct.
But if you look at these offensive lines, Atlanta have had the same five guys start every game. Mm-hmm. I think New England have used, eight offensive linemen, second fewest in the NFL. How important is that to have the same guys week in and week out?
You think about continuity and the chemistry that goes along with playing football along the offensive line.
Mm.
It's one of the most, I would say, an unsung hero when it comes to offensive line play, because many people think you just plug and play and it just happens.
Yeah.
Poof, get offensive line. No, it takes camaraderie, it takes chemistry, it takes trust. And you look at both of those offensive lines, and they've had a lot of trust that has went into playing the whole year, being healthy. I mean, being healthy is something that's a rarity in the National Football League sometimes. But both offensive lines have been able to play healthy all year, have played extremely well. Atlanta has done a great job of running the ball, and when they're ready to throw the ball, they've been able to do play action and protect Matt Ryan. The New England has done a great job of starting the game, throwing the ball with Tom Brady, and then when they need to close the game out running the ball, they're able to do so.
Both these teams morph from one to the other, don't they, Jeff?
Yeah, like that. They do. And here's what I got to ask. I'm gonna let you be the line coach now. If you're the offensive line. You're Dante Scarnecchia, and you're at New England. And you're looking at Vic Beasley across the way on film all week and is saying, you coach Nate Solder, you coach Marcus Cannon. How do you stop a guy like that?
Beat him up. Beat him up. Every time you have a chance to put your elbow on his back, put your elbow on his throat, cut him, beat him up.
I thought this was a technical sport.
I thought I was going to get some technical. Beat him up.
I mean, sometimes it's the basic game right?
It's man on man. That's all it boils down to. Put your hands on him and don't let go until the whistle.
What did Frank used to say? Those moments when man measures man.
There you go. We'll see that on Super Bowl Sunday.
Exactly.
Jeff, it's all about the offensive tackles, of course, but a man right in the middle for the Falcons who's made a difference this year, Alex Mack, the center who came over from Cleveland, especially when you talk about the communication that needed for that position.
You know, and Beach hit on it. There's two places on the football field where you have to have great communication. One is in the defensive secondary, because one mistake back there, two guys not playing the same coverage, you're going to get a touchdown. In the offensive line, the center is going to call the protections most of the time, and everybody has to be on the same page, or you're going to get your million-dollar franchise quarterback knocked out.
Exactly.
So communication and a guy that can be that calming influence as the center, and I think that's what Alex Mack has brought to that team.
All right. If you look at Alex Mack, you look at the time that he spent in Cleveland, you look at the people that were on that offensive line when he was in Cleveland, you had Schwartz, who's balling over in Kansas City.
Right, they had a good offensive line.
Joe Thomas.
Yeah.
You had Greg, Hall of Famer. You had Greco.
Yeah.
I think he was at right guard at the time. He had a great offensive line in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Now he's in Atlanta, has a young, put together offensive line, and they plug him in there. He's communicating everything that needs to be communicated.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job, though.
You've done a great job for us, Kelvin. We're going to look out for Vic Beasley getting beaten up on Super Bowl Sunday. Our thanks to Kelvin Beecham of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We are looking ahead to Super Bowl 51. It's on Sky Sports 1 and Sky Sports Mix Sunday from 10 p.m. We'll have a special guest in the studio as well, and Ndamukong Suh will be joining us from the Miami Dolphins. Yes, welcome back to Inside the Huddle. We're here in Houston, Texas, counting down to Super Bowl 51, still joined by Jeff Reinbold. We've got another special guest with us, a Super Bowl champion from the New Orleans Saints, 10 years in the NFL, cornerback Jabari Greer. You'll remember him from our coverage on Sky Sports last year in the playoffs. Jabari, great to have you back.
It's great to be here. I was telling Jeff earlier that I feel like I'm home now.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Do you, at this time of year, when it comes to Super Bowl time, do you think back to that victory you guys had over Indianapolis?
Well, it's been about 7 years now, so I'm trying to move on with my life, but I think I don't want to stay stuck. But I think that, being around it, I get to appreciate the men and the coaches that actually went through that journey with us.
Jeff, we were talking first half of the show about long shots that made it into the NFL, the late round draft picks for the Patriots. Chris Hogan was undrafted. This guy was an undrafted free agent as well.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, because here's a kid that's playing at the University of Tennessee at the highest level in the Southeast Conference, who is renowned for his coverage ability and his speed.
Mm-hmm. And track and field.
A pure cover corner and a track
there you
guy.
Go. Don't forget.
This is what the fans got to understand. How important that thing called the combine can be to a player. Because Jabari goes to the combine projected as somewhere in the second, third, fourth round selection. He weighs 168 pounds, and doesn't run a good 40 time. And the next thing you know, slides right out of the draft.
And then that's an uphill battle then, isn't it? I mean, someone like Chris Hogan has had to make that same journey.
Yeah, it really is. You're basically trying out for a team. So keep in mind that you might have 20 undrafted players
in a
training camp. And usually one or two guys may make it. And to be that one or two guy in that rotation is really unheard of. Fortunately for me and a couple of guys that I went to training camp with, there were six of us who actually made the roster that year.
Right.
So the coach was more than generous with the spots that year.
Guys, when you look at these New England Patriots, over the last decade, they've received almost 54,000 snaps from undrafted players, most in the NFL. I mean, this is just, when you dig down into this team that gets to the Super Bowl time and time again, it's incredible, Jeff.
Well, I think Jabari will tell you this. When you evaluate players, it's really an inexact science.
Mm.
Because you can't measure that guy's desire. You can't measure that guy's attention to detail. You can't measure that guy's willingness to do the little extra, you know, to be a great teammate, to
right.
do all those other things. I think the Patriots maybe as do as good a job as anybody with that, and that's one of the reasons why they have the success.
I think a larger part is putting guys in the right position to succeed.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you have a guy like Rob Ninkovich. Me and Rob were teammates.
Right.
Rob was a long snapper and like a third-string defensive end.
Wow.
And now he is a perennial Pro Bowler because they put him in the right position to succeed in New England.
And they wouldn't – if you match them up against – if you put Chris Hogan next to Julio Jones or, I don't know, Ninkovich next to Vic Beasley, in terms of pure physicality, you know, the skills, Jeff, wouldn't necessarily be the same, would they?
It's different because I think with the Patriots, when you look at the Patriots football team, I think the sum is much greater than the parts.
Right, right.
And I was going to ask Jabari this.
Well, ask me, brother.
All right. Ask away, Jeff.
One of the things that's so fascinating about – we're talking Patriots, right?
Yeah.
About their ability – you hear corners all the time, and it's a defensive back,
okay.
one of the best to play, talk about, I can't go inside. I can't go in and be that slot corner that got to go inside and handle because the routes are all different. You know, you're playing all the whole route tree now
right.
where the corner, you know, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
What does it – you were a slot corner.
Okay.
What is it that makes a great slot corner?
Well, you have to – first of all, you have to play within the system of your defense. You got to know where your help is. You have to know that
yeah.
your safety is inside, that you have to have outside technique because a nickel or a slot corner that's undisciplined is going to get you beat every time.
Mm.
So I think it takes discipline, technique, and understanding that your job is the most crucial job on the field.
It's a good opportunity for us to pick the brains of a defensive back going into the Super Bowl because
let's do it.
This is a question that is being asked around this building today all week long, and it's being asked in the New England Patriots Hotel. How do you defend Julio Jones?
That's a great question, and I've done it at a high level for a long time. I used to lock Julio Jones down
in my
dreams. And then I woke up. No, but Julio Jones is one of the most explosive receivers, is the most explosive receiver in the NFL. His the way that he can move his body like a running back.
Right.
He's as strong as an offensive lineman, and he can catch like none other. So Julio Jones, how do you defend him? I think that if you don't have your best corner and your best safety covering him, you just have to make sure that you minimize him, allow him to catch the ball, and just don't allow him to have those explosive 60-yard receptions.
And the Patriots were talking about this last night. Malcolm Butler was talking about how good they are at tackling in the secondary. That's going to be important.
Well, yeah, I mean, you saw the playing against Green Bay.
Yeah, so get off me.
Get off
me. It looked like little kids playing
yeah.
with him. And, you know, I think the fascinating one for me is, okay, let's say you match Malcolm Butler on him, and then you put Patrick Chung over the top. Now – there's so many weapons in Atlanta. Who's going to be that guy
yeah.
that, you know, takes advantage of that one-on-one matchup that they're going to have? Because you can't double them all.
That Julio touchdown against Green Bay, it was like when you see competitive dads playing with their kids.
Yes.
And they're, like, knocking their kids around like they shouldn't be, you know, playing, running for touchdowns when they're grown men. It was like a grown man against boys.
Yeah,
that
reminds me of my older brother playing, like, tackle the man with the ball
yeah.
with us as little kids.
Wait a second. I thought you were going to tell us that reminds you of a game in Seattle.
Oh, Marshawn Lynch.
No. He went there.
He did go there. And it did happen. My son reminds me of that play.
No, he does.
Constantly.
You're a YouTube sensation.
Oh, my goodness. He doesn't remind
me
of that.
You weren't the only one.
I know, right?
There are about seven of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, let's have a little chat about the players are now beginning their media obligations. They had opening night. Now they've had press conferences today. A couple of stark contrasts. Devontae Freeman, through his agent, has talked about struggling to share the load with Tevin Coleman, has talked about wanting a new contract. By contrast, Dont'a Hightower, linebacker for the Patriots, who is a free agent, has said, I don't want to talk about free agency in 2017. I don't want to talk about money. It's about the Super Bowl. That, to me, struck me as a real contrast just between two players. I mean, it's not something that should be blown into a great big thing, but it's, you know, this should be about the game right now.
Yeah, and it is. One thing you have to understand here is that in the NFL, the agents have a obligation to the players.
Right.
And they also want to make, I guess, newsworthy statements as well. Some agents are more vocal than other agents. My agent wasn't like that at all. But
right.
for the agent to go to a media source and to say this is what my client wants at this stage is almost blasphemous. It's almost blasphemous. So Devontae Freeman didn't actually say that.
Yeah.
His agent stepped up and took it on his behalf to speak in Super Bowl
week. Devontae must be saying, I've got all these media obligations.
What are you doing? Yeah. It's ridiculous.
You know what? Think about it. Take us back, right? It's the week of your Super Bowl in Miami. How did you guys eliminate the noise, eliminate the distraction? Because it's everywhere.
That's a really good question. So one thing that was really good about our situation was that we were the underdog. We were a three-point underdog, such as the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
All the attention was on the NFL MVP, Peyton Manning, was on the Pro Bowl wide receivers, Pierre Garçon and Reggie Wayne, and we were just the guys that were happy to be there.
Right.
So that allowed us the space to really go under the radar, work and perfect our game plan, and really get to a point where we were saying, okay, we'll see. And then when the game started, Roman Harper, he sparked the flame. Mm. And then after that, we just lights out.
Got that momentum going.
Yeah.
So we're going to play our little game we did yesterday on the Inside the Huddle podcast, where I like a statistic or two. I like a fact. I'm going to give you a Super Bowl fact.
Okay.
And you can tell me if it's meaningful or meaningless.
Okay.
All right. So Matt Ryan has thrown touchdown passes to 13 different receivers in the regular season. That's the most in the NFL.
That's meaningful. Very, very much meaningful. That means that he can spread the ball out. He's not committed to one receiver.
Mm.
And that he will take that third or fourth or fifth receiving option.
Give that one the thumbs up, Jeff.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Distribute the ball. Hard to defend. More players touching the football, the tougher it is on the defense.
All right. This one for you, Jeff. 11 of the last 12 Super Bowl winners have worn white jerseys. I thought you'd like that one. The last one to wear a colored jersey was the Green Bay Packers Super Bowl 45 6 years ago. And this year, the Falcons chose to wear red. Is that meaningful or meaningless?
That might be the single most meaningful statistic.
No, you're lying. You're just making me feel better.
I think a stroke of absolute genius by Dan Quinn to choose a red jersey.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's definitely meaningless. But it is a great media fodder.
Oh, well, that's what we live for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's what everyone is doing here for the next 4 days. And the last one on this. In the Tom Brady era, New England have won 79.8% of games in December, January, or February at the business end of the year.
I think that's meaningful. Mm. In college, they say they remember what you do in November. In the NFL, they tell you that, man, the last four games of your season really defines who you are. And to win in a cold weather situation the way that they endure in Boston, and to win the way that they do later on in the season, I think speaks volumes to their commitment to preparation. It speaks volumes to their attention to detail. And it also speaks volumes to their ability to stay healthy in such a crucial time in the season.
Brady often used to say, Jeff, that the season for them doesn't start until Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at that football team, particularly, because I always look at the defense as the closest, but you look at that football team, fundamentally, they grow during the course of the season.
Yeah.
Now, Jabari will tell you, that's not the norm in pro football.
Yeah.
You come out of training camp with a real strong fundamental base, you tackle well, you block well, and then because of the way people practice, it starts to go during the course of the season. Patriots aren't like that. They are constantly on that upward climb.
Jabari, we're just coming into the end. We're almost out of time. Who do you like in this game and why?
Well, I'm always going for the underdog, man. I do like the Atlanta Falcons. The reason why, they have a lot of explosive receiving options, and I think that Tevin Coleman is going to be the X factor. They have everything to play for. I think that the New England Patriots, although they've been here before, that could bring a sense of complacency.
Yeah. All right. So you're going.
Oh, I don't want to make a pick, but I will.
I'm on the spot. Nice try.
I'll go Atlanta 34-23.
All right, good stuff. Great to see you again,
Jabari.
Right,
want
to get you over next year on Sky Sports.
Great.
Good to see you.
Jeff Reinbold, Jabari Greer. This has been Inside the Huddle. We'll see you next time again with more from Radio Row as we count down to Super Bowl 51. Until then, bye for now. Bye-bye.